at a time. And I thank God, sir, for the topic. I didn't want to go into that fruit because I want to try and share about where that fruit culminates in. Because the most important thing, the fruits, as we continue to allow them to seep into our lives, we become walking Jesus. A, Jesus begins to walk in our shoes, in our neighborhood. People see us and they forget we are just mere human beings. Because we cease to be mere human beings, we become people, human beings, that are living the divine life. People that, you see, there's something that comes from inside. You see, the human life is a life of sin, is a life of death. But the life that Jesus begins to pour into us by the fruit. The fruit comes into our lives, and as we continue to mature it, and God begins to stoke it as we are hearing about it and beginning to walk in them. Honestly, people around us, it won't be you telling them that something happened to me. They will know Jesus happened to you. And that will begin to bring a change in the atmosphere around your life and my life. My prayer is that God will do what we cannot do in the name of Jesus. Amen. So God is at work. Thank you so much for being part of the encouragement to help us. If we had not found encouragement from this church from day one, honestly, we won't get to where we are today. If we had been fighting battles and just all manner of things from day one, we won't be who God has made us to be. But you have been part of the journey. And honestly, I am not saying this just anyhow. I'm saying it with my whole heart. I love you with my whole heart because you have been part of our journey. Thank you so much for being there. Amen. So very quickly, I will run through what I have. I have called it the marketplace, God's end time arena. Sorry, because I don't have I want to be looking so that I don't miss anything. Now, there's an amazing statistic. I don't know whether you have come across this statistic. It's about what happened in the Bible. They said out of 132 public appearances of Jesus in the New Testament, 122 of them were in the marketplace. Only 10 were in church. Only 10 were in the synagogue. Number two, out of 52 parables Jesus spoke, 45 of them had marketplace context. And then, when you begin to talk of 33 plus years he spent, most of it, he lived it as a carpenter. It was 3.5 years that he began ministry. So almost like 30 years, he was a carpenter, making good chairs and tables for people. I don't know whether some of the tables he made still exist till today. Nobody will know. But honestly, he was a carpenter. And of 40 miracles that you find in the book of Acts, 39 were outside the church setting. You see, You see, even when you look at his disciples, the 12 disciples he had, do you know where he got all of them? None of them was got in the temple. They all came from the marketplace. He was always there. One was at the receipt of custom. He was a customs officer. And that was where he met him and brought him in. So the marketplace was so important to Jesus. If it is important to him, it should be important to us too. You see, too many times when we define the marketplace, many people think it's just where I work in my day job. And that's not just the place where the marketplace is. The marketplace, generously speaking, is the place where we each spend the bulk of our time with people we can influence, especially unbelievers. And I tell you, brethren, each one of us influence people. You may not know. You have followers. We may not be like those people on the internet who they call influencers. They have hundreds of millions of followers and this one and that one. That is not what God wants. Many of those influencers, their lives cannot do what God wants to do. But you, because of the life you are living for God, in your environment, you are influencing people. People are looking at you to pick the way they live their lives. And that's why I tell many Christians, I'm just coming from a two-day retreat where I had some time speaking with some workers in a church. And I say, look, don't walk like people that have been downtrodden. You are sons of the King of Kings. Yes, we are humble, but we are not toothless. Walk tall. Let people know that you have a master behind you, that inside I have a lion, Taruas, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He dwells there. He's my Lord and Master. And that's why when I enter anywhere, I try to come in with the confidence, not of myself, but of the one who has sent me to take the word of God anywhere I go. We are influencing people every day. My life is not ordinary. Your life is not ordinary. Your life carries a package, and that package is Jesus. And he wants to show himself forth wherever we go, whatever we do. So where is the marketplace? Because the marketplace is very important. If we don't get it right and define it properly, we will miss the influencing God wants us. And it's going on. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you are influencing people. Either for good or for bad. There are many people whose influence is throwing people into all manner of lives that is ruining them. But we are called of God to show examples that people will follow and find Jesus and live for God. Are we together, brethren? Hey, amen. You see, when I'm at home, I just keep going. I didn't even pray. But we are at home. Father, we are at home in your presence. And that's why we know that, Lord, you are with us. I just again bow my life before you. I have nothing in me. If you don't speak to us, our words will be in vain. Lord, it just came to me now that I should have done this at the beginning. But you are God. And we pray that the entrance of your word will continue to give us life and to bring us great understanding to the glory of your name. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, more than 75% of our lives every day, even today, Sunday, is lived where? Outside of the church. Only 25%, in fact, less than 25% is spent within the church. And if we spend 75% of our life out there, that is the context that Jesus wants us to take serious. The church is a place of training. We all come to fellowship to support ourselves, to help one another. But the place where God wants us to manifest is out there in our neighborhood. So the marketplace is places where you are commuting. Do you know that all these things that are put here, they look so ordinary, but they are the context of power in the hands of God. The context where things happen to change lives of people, to disciple men and women, where you are commuting from point A to point B. You meet with people along the way, and it may be just one word that you speak that will add to what God has been doing in that life, to take him along the way to the place where he will meet with salvation. Are we together? Too many times we think this issue of influencing, we need so many words. Let me sit down. I can't talk to people. I can't do this thing. You just need to move people from one level to the other. And it could take just one word. I make up my mind that anybody I meet, I add to whatever he has got in a positive dimension. If I meet a person, I just showcase God. I met with a woman. It was in South Coast here, and I'm sure I've mentioned it here. 5 minutes at the bus stop, South Coast bus stop. We were there, and the woman was complaining about the miserable weather. It was pouring. Miserable, oh, miserable. Then I just stopped. I said, because you see, that's me. Anywhere I go, I'm smiling, and I am greeting. Even if you don't answer me, I will greet. Sometimes I will even go along to say, I just greeted you. You understand what I'm talking about? Just to be friendly, because there's no way you can influence a person that is your enemy. It's not possible. A person you will influence has to be your friend. You must be on the same page. So I had greeted her. We were there, and she was complaining. And then I just said, this situation you are complaining about, some people are happy. And God did this for those people that are happy. She looked at me, where did you drop from? And I said, and in the next few months, 4 months, you will be happy because they are happy. Then I explained to her. I said, farmers are happy. This one that you are calling miserable, and you can't thank God for, the farmers are happy. They are planting. Their crops are growing. And in 4 months, 5 months, you will be in the supermarket to get what they are reaping from the miserable weather. I said, that's the way God works. I'm sure she will never, ever forget that encounter. Influencing doesn't have to be big. 2 minutes, just one word, can even settle a lot of things. And you see, one thing about talking to people is that it's like ping pong. Ping pong. If you don't serve a ball, you cannot get the ball back. You have to do what? Serve. And the service may be just greeting. And somebody greets you back. At Circuit Lane bus stop, I met another young man. He was clad like a soldier. And he was with muscles and everything. And I just, hi, guy. You look like a soldier. And every muscle just... and he beamed with a big smile. I said, wow. He said, you see, I just finished my A-level, and I want to get into the academy. I want to become a soldier. I said, yes, you are fit to become a soldier. And we began talking. And do you know, before the bus came, the the battles between armies on earth became the battle between Jesus and the devil. And I was able to just make him aware that even in this world, there's a warfare on. And God is at war with the devil. And that every man on earth is part of that battle. You have to belong to an army. I didn't have much to say. He had never had, this young man must have been 18 plus. He had never had that before. Just 5 minutes, max 10 minutes. Serve, they will bring the ball back and you keep playing. But if I don't serve, I cannot get the ball back. I don't know whether you understand what I'm talking about. The Lord will help us, brethren. So, day job, getting to supermarket, buying stuff, your day job, mothering and fathering, chatting with friends, dropping children off at school, supermarket, everything we do. The place where men are discipled is, honestly, most of the time we think is in the church. It's out there. Where he said, go and make disciples of all nations. You meet them in their context. And you walk with them in their context. So, what happens in the marketplace? Matthew 28, 19 and 20 said, you know, when we read that scripture, we say, go and make disciples of all nations. And do you know what that turns to in our hands? It turns to programs. It wasn't supposed to be programs. And we say, okay, on Saturday we must go on outreach. On this time we must go on outreach. Let's carve time for outreach. No, my whole life is supposed to be outreach. I carry Jesus everywhere I go. And the Holy Ghost is always ready. He wants to speak. Unless I'm not a carrier of that champion that wants to speak to people. So it's not a program. And that's why they said the real thing that the disciples had when Jesus was speaking was that as you go, make disciples. Do you see that it changes everything? It's not go. It's as you go. And do you know that it's difficult not to go? One of the greatest principles in life is that you must go. You must keep going. It is coined into our DNA. I'm sure you have heard this from me before. It is coined into every man's DNA. In fact, the reason why we are all here today is because we must go. There's no way you can, if we stay in this place now and we begin to enjoy this fellowship, everybody, the elders will say, these people are very godly. They want to serve God. They will leave you for today. Imagine we do it tomorrow. We do it every day of the week. And look at the revival that happened in America. People were fellowshipping it. But a point came when they had to tell them, sorry, you are doing what people normally don't do. If people keep gathering and gathering and they are not going, in fact, one of two people will settle the case at the end of the day. Either they will go and call police and say, there are some people that are gathering in our church. They are not going. Or they will call NHS and say, maybe some people need counseling. It's not normal not to go. Even for people who are unable because of disability to go, what are they looking for? They are looking for somebody to do what? To assist them to go. It's in our nature to go. You see, but the issue now is that what do we do as we go? That's the matter. That's what changes and flips the coin into what God has called each one of us to do. I don't know whether I'm still speaking. Are we together? I just want to bring it a little bit logically so that we can really understand what I'm saying. And what God is looking for is that we enable the discipleship process wherever we go. There's something we call the straw principle. In my church, in the church that I went next after here, it's called Dudley Community Church. We have a 3D principle. And the 3D principle is, number one, develop relationships. Everywhere you go, keep developing relationship. I have a principle. I reduce enemies and increase my friends. I never fight with anybody. In fact, when I'm talking to a person like Muslims and he begins to want to turn it into a fight, I say, please, why are you fighting? Why are we fighting over this? Come, let me buy you a cup of coffee. Because if I fight him, do you know what? I will not only shut the door to myself, I will shut the door to every other person that will want to have an inroad in that life. So I want to make everybody my friends as much as I. So I keep developing relationships. Every area where I go, people know me. I keep smiling at everybody. I keep greeting everybody. People know me. So sometimes when I meet people that look like strangers to me and I begin talking to them, they will begin to tell you, ah, yes, we met you here. I didn't know where I met them. But because of my nature to just keep blessing people. If it's not in my nature, it's not, you see, my wife, do you know my wife, you knew her. I'm sure some of us will think she can talk. No. She's the best introvert I've ever seen. When we married, hey, Fumi, she prefers to stay in her room. The whole family will throw a party, and all the relatives, everyone will come. My wife will be in her room reading a book. Even till now, she has a haven. Her default position is to look for a corner and just sit there. But she got married, fortunately. I would say, to a total extrovert on the other extreme. And she had to be forced out of her corner. And I had been forced from my corner too. So we are in the middle together. And that's why my wife can do what she's doing today. So it's not impossible. It's just to be able to know the import of what should make me to do what God expects, wants me to do. So develop relationships. Number two, after meeting people, discover their stories. Do you know that? Tell people your story. Tell people your story. It breaks the ice. They are free to tell you their stories too. If you know stories that I've had in this my life, hey, there are people that I meet day one. I've never seen them in my life. But because I shared some stories about my life and they open up and I begin to hear what is going on in their life. In fact, sometimes I'm afraid. I say, what did I open? But you see, that's the power of being ready to be vulnerable. Share with people. Hear their story. And then as you are discovering their stories, begin to ask God, what do you want me to do with this? And then look for a way to be able to bring God into their matter. Just, you see, because every story that people bring, God has a solution for their lives. And if I can be sensitive enough, God will give me something that will move them from point A to point B very quickly. So, can I, is it possible to play this? Sorry. I'm so sorry about that. But it's, you see, the reason why I wanted us, I don't mind if that's where we stop, is so that it brings out the simplicity of what God is asking us to do. He's not asking us to do what is not normal to us as individuals. To be able to influence people that we meet, people around us, but just to be able to be who we are, even amongst people. But with this mindset of deliberately saying, I must bring God into this matter wherever I find myself. Thank you very much. Or maybe just go out of it and then click it alone. I'm so sorry. But, okay, don't worry if we can't find it. Let me explain what he's saying. What he's saying basically is the fact that you meet people. People are on a journey. And on that journey, they... bless you, sir. very much. So what I was just getting, don't worry about going back to it. I think it is a good place to stop. Do you see how easy it is? It's just for us to be able to be a friend that would take somebody just to the next step. And it may be just one word that brightens the day of that person. And he remembers. Many times when I do things, do you know, man, many Christians do stuff for other people. Good deeds and whatever. And we refuse to let them know that Jesus motivated us to do it. Anything I do, I want to give the glory to Jesus. I want people to know that I am not just a good person. It is Jesus that motivated me to do what I'm doing to you. And that carries a lot of weight, moves people forward from one step to the other. My prayer is that God will help us. Because we keep meeting people, please, if we can keep this behind our minds, that it's not to sit people down and begin to ban, give them, you are a sinner, come to know Jesus. This one, but in just conversation, I can package just a few words and give to people and leave them with it. I can't save anybody. I can't save a fly. It will take the Holy Spirit to save people. All the Holy Spirit is looking for is for me to pass on information that he can now use to get to the depths of their hearts. Can you be that friend to somebody on the street, to somebody in our neighborhood that we're just talking to? It's as serious as that, because if they don't get to that point, in fact, that's what God wants us to do with them. Let me not pass that. I want us to just pray. To ask God, because it takes power. It takes power of the Holy Spirit to help us. Can we just ask Jesus, help me? This issue is serious enough. That's the reason why you created me. To be able to influence lives in a positive way. Make me that influencer that will be available